Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
And welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the noon report, we give you direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues. At the state capitals, they are Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute and Jason McGuire at New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. Jason, we'll begin with you. Less than a week to go before the end of the New York State legislative session, and there is a flurry of activity in Albany. One of the big items they're working on is prison reform legislation. That seems to be a hot topic these days. What's going on here?
Yeah, this could be the premier issue that comes at the end of session. I mean, this seems to be the issue that's percolating to the top, and that's the parole reform. Essentially, Democrats and the Democratic supermajorities in Albany are desirous of reforming parole, they call it, but essentially an elderly inmate would be released at a certain age automatically, and there's another proposal that at age 55, regardless of crime, if a person has served 15 years for that crime and then has no bad record while in prison, they would be released at age 55. There's a third proposal that deals with the Clean Slate Act that would automatically expunge the records of all of those convicted criminals as well. So it's a wild time in Albany right now as we talk about so-called parole reform.
Yeah, and all this is happening at a time when violent crime is rising at rates we haven't seen in generations. We'll see where that goes. And while we're talking about controversial topics, Michael, nothing hotter these days than election reform legislation. We've seen in Texas lawmakers walk out. We've seen in Georgia boycotts over this. Some call these laws inherently racist. There's action in Harrisburg, but seems like things have stalled lately. Where do things stand today?
Well, the state government committee headed by Seth Grove, a state representative from York County, who called Pennsylvania's election laws god-awful, they produced a 99-page report on some of the reforms that they want to see happen. As Seth Grove has said, they want to make it easier to vote but harder to cheat. The big challenge here in Pennsylvania is that we have a Republican-led legislature and Governor Wolf, a Democrat governor, who has different ideas about what should happen. And so that kind of brings an impasse in terms of really bringing change. Then you have the county boards of election that are calling for different changes that they want. So when changes are going to happen, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah. One of the big issues this summer is going to be the labor shortage problems. We're seeing it already. Ironically, both New York and Pennsylvania have an unemployment rate that's about 2% above the national average, but there are tens of thousands of jobs out there that just can't fill those jobs. In New York, Senator Ed Rath is calling for a $1,200, for lack of a better term, signing bonus to get people off the couch and into these jobs. How bad is it in New York, Jason?
Well, I'll tell you, we're seeing these challenges all over the place. I mean, pizzerias, restaurants, various kinds of businesses just can't hire people. Manufacturers can't hire people. And so I do think that we are now disincentivizing work, and that's one of the unintended consequences of public policy, is there are these things that happen. You pass a measure, and then there are unintended consequences. In this case, we are now incentivizing people not to work. We have got to get people back to work. A good work ethic is good. There's a biblical principle for it, and it's good for our economy and our state and our nation.
Yeah, and in Pennsylvania, this is coming. You know, restaurants and small business owners are finally got the stranglehold of COVID behind them, but they can't find workers to fill these jobs. Talk about the problem that it's posing in Pennsylvania, Michael.
Yeah, same sorts of problems that are happening here, whether it's the trucking industry that can't find workers, the manufacturing, restaurants. My son works in the restaurant industry in an advertising side of things, but he says the chain that he works for is finding it to be crisis mode in terms of finding employment. No such incentives yet have been presented here in Pennsylvania, but the work requirement or the job search requirement is going to be reenacted or put back in place for those who are on unemployment starting in July.
Yeah, and June, of course, it used to be called Gay Pride Month. That's been shortened to just Pride Month, Jason, and we see it everywhere. How can Christians winsomely articulate their objections to the LGBTQ agenda while at the same time not appearing to be overtly antagonistic here. There just seems to be this if you can't beat them, join them mindset when it comes to this issue, even in the church today in many circles. Talk about that if you would.
Yeah, it's a great question that's sorely needed for the day in which we live. You know, I think social media is a great starting point. There are lots of times that Christians just need to learn to scroll on by what's on there. It is very difficult to engage in a social media debate without it becoming very angry, people misinterpreting what you mean, what is said. We have to be very careful. I think that, you know, you mentioned winsomely, articulately, we have to be able to define our positions that we love people. We do love individuals. We will certainly disagree with certain decisions that people make, but we do have to first express love to those individuals. And remember, there is a difference between the individual who is struggling with their sexual orientation or their identity as opposed to the militant movement that is out there that is looking to advocate for legislation that Michael and I are often working against.
Yeah.
And so it really is important to differentiate and to love the individual.
Great point. This is an issue in Pennsylvania as well, because for the second year in a row, Michael, the lieutenant governor is breaking the law. John Fetterman defying state law by displaying a pride flag at the Capitol. How does he continue to get away with this?
Well, he not only displays the pride flag, but marijuana flags, etc. He just exemplifies what progressivism is in the United States and here in Pennsylvania today. It's a lack of respect for the rule of law. He doesn't care about the rule of law. And it's just progressivism, and then we have a progressive governor who's not going to do anything or use the force of his executive branch to do anything about the lieutenant governor thumbing his nose at the law.
Yeah, last I checked, they had removed the flag. Has he put another one back up?
He keeps doing it, and he says he's going to keep doing it. So I haven't looked over at the Capitol yet today,
Okay. But
that's going to be a back and forth that keeps going.
Well, elder abuse is an issue that we've talked about on this program, Jason, when it comes to assisted suicide. That's always been your concern, that it could lead to elder abuse. There is legislation in the works. I couldn't believe it till I saw it on your website, that would deny food and water to dementia patients. Talk about that.
Yeah, essentially it's a modification of our healthcare proxy law. So if an individual has a surrogate who will make the healthcare decisions for them should they become incapacitated, this new bill would allow that surrogate to determine that an incapacitated person would no longer receive food or water by mouth. So applesauce for dementia patients. If a dementia patient wants a sip of water because they're thirsty, you would have medical personnel that would be instructed to deny that individual food and hydration. That just takes an enormous leap towards euthanasia, and is a place that we cannot go here in the Empire State or anywhere in the world.
Mm. Three pro-life bills voted out of the House Health Committee last week, Michael. The governor's promised to veto them all. He doesn't have to worry about re-election. But how much of a risk is it for Democrats who do if they reject these measures?
Well, it really depends on what district and the demographics of the district and where those legislators will be running. There are some swing districts in the state where the pro-life issue is going to make a big difference. And it also depends on what, for example, listeners to this radio program do in their own districts. If they have that situation where they have a legislator who's voted against it, are they going to turn out to vote? Are they going to encourage their neighbors to take a stand on the sanctity of life? That's where it really ends up at the ballot box and what the citizens do.
And we'll spend the last minute talking about masks. This weekend, Jason, my church, where I attend, will be allowing parishioners who are vaccinated to go without a mask. A first time in a long time that has happened. I know a lot of folks are looking forward to that. But what is your advice to churches that are still conflicted about what the rules are on this?
Yeah, love and grace for one another. You know, I'm noticing as I'm going out in society today, and I'm not wearing a mask, and so I'm noticing how uncomfortable some people are around people that are not wearing masks.
Yeah.
And how judgmental some people can be of people that are wearing masks. And so I think the word of the day for us going forward, and for the Christian all the time, is going to be love and grace. The person who approaches you with a mask, just give them some grace. And the person who's not wearing a mask, give them some grace.
Yeah.
Together we can't get through this. We're almost there.
Yeah, we are. Can't wait for the end of this. And Michael, the masks come off in your state June 28th. You expect there to be much blowback over this?
You know, I think there's going to be the same sort of thing, which is suspicion from both sides of people looking at those who continue to wear a mask or those who are not wearing a mask. mask. I think the emails that came out from Dr. Fauci early on in the COVID epidemic, where he was saying that the masks are really not terribly effective and things, are going to probably add to the public debate. But I think, as Jason said, we need to express grace to one another.
All right, and we did it all in 10 minutes. Fastest 10 minutes in radio. Hey, end of New York State legislative session. Learn more about the bills they're working on. Jason, what's your website, sir?
AlbanyUpdate.com.
And stay informed on all the issues. Big pro-life rally happening this September in Pennsylvania. Where can folks learn more, Michael?
PAFamily.org.